Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, we're going to start a new series today called Abide. Somebody say Abide.
Abide.
Yeah, Abide. Abide. No one ever uses that word in our day-to-day life, right? Anybody use Abide? I am going to abide with my wife, and we are going to Olive Garden. No one does that. No one says that. But it's a very biblical word, and the place that we see it really highlighted is in the book of John, the 15th chapter. And so what we're going to do over the next month is we're going to dive into basically 11 verses. I want to encourage you to read John 15, 1 through 11. I'm about to do it right now. But there's one thing that I've learned about the Bible, and that is that God's going to speak to you personally when you read his word. And you can read it one time, and he can speak to you out of verse 2. And then you can read it the next day, and he'll speak to you out of verse 8. And you're like, how did that happen? I've already read verse 8, and how did, you know, that's just God. God's just going to speak to you when you read his word. I'm obviously praying and hoping that he speaks to you today as we read it together. I think it's really important when believers get together and read the word of God together. That's you know, obviously been a tradition of Christians for many, many, many centuries. So I want to encourage you to do that. Get a Bible. You can get it online. There's free Bibles on your phone you can get through the Bible app. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Let's start with verse 1 of John chapter 15. And before I get started, all of these words are the words of Jesus, okay? So if you have a Bible that has red letters for the words of Jesus, this entire passage is going to be the color red because this is Jesus talking. So that's very important. Everything we're reading today is Jesus' own words. So this is what he says in verse 1. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. So let's stop right there. All right, if we're going to spend a month in 11 verses, we're going to dig into every sentence, okay? Let's go. All right, so Jesus, whenever Jesus says, I am, that's a big deal. Because in the Old Testament, God says when Moses, big character in the Bible, right? Moses, when Moses asks God who he is, God answers, I am that I am. Now, we could spend months just talking about that because it's such a weird, why would he say that? He's the ever-present help in a time of trouble. So, you know, what he's saying is, I'm present tense. I'm always present tense. I am that I am. So when Jesus says, I am, he is saying that same thing. I am here. I am with you, and I'm God in the flesh. That's really what he's saying. And so when he says that I am the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener, Jesus is resetting some things. Because in the Old Testament, the Jews understood Israel to be the vine. Israel, the people Israel, was the vine. And the prophets were sent by God to be the vine dresser. And the Israelites rejected the prophets. It was a very ugly, you know, few centuries. It was just a very, very tough time. So what Jesus is saying is that I'm resetting all this. A big shift is happening. Everybody look to me, Jesus is saying. This is the words of Jesus. Look to me. I am the vine, and our heavenly Father is the gardener. All right, let's keep going. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. So he's talking to some followers. He's talking to Promised Land, San Marcos. He's talking to some of his disciples. And he's like, okay, you've been pruned. You've been worked by God and purified by the message. Okay. But this is a bigger message, and maybe we have some people here today, or maybe you're watching online, that you don't really have a relationship with God. You're not familiar with Jesus, or maybe you're brand new. You're trying to sort all this out. I'm glad you're here today, because you're gonna hear from the Word of God how this all works. So that was verses 1 through 3. Now verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. He says it again. I am the vine. You are the branches. You come forth off of Jesus. And he says, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So I want you to think about, I'm sure everybody in here has done a little bit of gardening, you know, just a little bit maybe. I was talking to somebody yesterday and she said, whatever I touch turns black. Thank God we're not the gardeners. Our Heavenly Father is, all right? And he has a very green thumb, okay? But whenever we clip off a branch from something and it falls to the ground, it's gonna be green for a few hours, maybe a day, but then you go back out the second day and it's gonna start shriveling up, it's gonna start turning brown. Why is that? Come on. We're having a big small group in here right now. There's no life. The water, the source, the nutrients, all of that is being neglected from all of the source of life that comes from the trunk or the vine. And so it falls, it is unproductive. And not only is it unproductive, but it's going to die and it's going to have no value after that. So verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches, those branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. So I want to stop here just for a second. I want to talk about these are very heavy words from Jesus. And I want everybody to understand the weight of these words, that it matters to be in the vine. And not just matters like, I want to have a good life and I want to be attached to Jesus so that I can be good and I can have a fun life and da da da. No, if you're not connected to the vine, then you're separated. And sometimes we separate ourselves from the vine. And what he's saying here is that those branches wither, and then they're not just left there, because if the vines that were withered and dead were to stay close to the crops, the disease and the bad bacteria and all that is festering in that pile of dead limbs, it's going to spread to the growth of the healthy vine, the healthy branches. So they have to be discarded. They have to be burned. They have to be separated away. And that's a heavy reality, that if you're not attached to the vine, there are earthly consequences to that. And he's also saying that there are eternal consequences to that, that there is a hell and there is a heaven. And we all need to be conscious and aware of that. I'm not telling you that to scare you or to try to coerce you. You know, fear is a very quick motivator, but it doesn't last long. So I'm not here to try to, you know, motivate you by fear, but we do need to be sober-minded about the reality of eternity and what that means. And so he gives us that message in verse 6 and 8. Let's go to verse 9. It says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Isn't that awesome? That last sentence is what we're all looking for, that our life, that joy may be inside of us. Joy is this rich, the Bible says, spiritual fruit that comes to us. It's deeper than happiness. It's bigger than laughing. It's bigger than emotion. But joy is a spiritual fruit that comes from God. And he's saying that is what's going to burst forth like a big, large cluster of grapes. It brings nourishment to everyone. So this joy, you're going to bear much fruit. It's going to be awesome. And I love that last sentence. Not only are you going to have joy in you, but your joy may be full. Another translation says that it may overflow. So much joy that it's just bursting forth from you. We want that. I want that. And that's a spiritual thing that comes from the vine. I want us to focus on one area, really, and that's just this word abide. And next week, I'm going to talk to you about pruning, and the next week about producing fruit. But today, I want to talk about that core word, abide, because we don't really use that word a whole lot, like I said earlier. Some of the translations you may read, we use the word remain. But abide is King James, English Standard Version word, abide. Let's go to verse 4. Let's just read verse 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. A lot of abiding. I'm the fruit, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So the word that's used here in the original Greek is a word called meno. Meno, in regards to place, like a location, it means to not depart from that location. So I'm going to stay in this location. I'm going to continue to be present in this place. I'm going to abide. I'm going to remain in this location. All right? But there's a bigger sense to the word besides just a location. It also means to abide in being. So in regards to your state of being, It means to remain as one, to not become another or to become something different, but to stay as one. A few weeks ago, we started baptizing in this year, 2022, we started baptizing people. And since that week, I think that was February 13th, we've been baptizing people every Sunday. And I believe we're going to be baptizing people today. And so... maybe you just showed up and said, wow, I didn't know I could be baptized. We're changing our baptism culture. I'm making it official today, okay? If you want to get baptized, it's going to be like the book of Acts. Let's go get baptized today, okay? So let's go. We have clothes. We have towels. I verified this morning that the heater is on. It's been cleaned. Everything is ready to go. So if you want to be baptized, let's go, all right? But what happens in baptism is that we dip you down into the water. Baptism means fully immersed. Baptizo is the word, means fully immersed. And then we bring you up out of that water, and it symbolizes the death and burial and then the resurrection of Jesus. I'm not going to give you a whole baptism sermon, but that's in essence what's happening. And you're not just getting wet, you're getting submerged into a new identity, the fullness of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the powerful name of Jesus, the name at which every knee will bow and every tongue confess. That's how we're baptized into the identity of Christ. The old nature stays. The old nature is washed away. The old nature is buried, and behold, you're resurrected fresh and new. So what Jesus is saying is you're going to now stay in that new identity. You're going that presence of being. You're going to stay there. You're going to stay in that, and it really brings several keys pop out about abiding, and I want to just share a few of them with you. And the first one is this: that abiding is a choice. Abiding is a choice. It doesn't say to be stuck. Jesus doesn't say to be stuck with me, you're going to bear fruit. Or to be trapped with me, you're going to bear a lot of fruit. No, he says, if, that's a big word, if you abide. So what that means is that you don't have to abide. I'm choosing to stay in this presence of God. I am making that conscious choice to stay. I could separate, I could leave, But I'm going to make the choice not to do that. So abiding is a choice to stay and allow that vine to bring life to you. Instead of separate, you know, when we separate ourselves from God, or maybe you're just, we're all born separated from God. We're all born a vine. I mean, we're all born a branch laying on the ground. And we don't want to die. We want to keep living. And so our inclination is find something that satisfies, find something that approves, find something that makes us feel good. And so we're branches attaching ourselves to our career or our education path or another marriage or a sexual relationship or whatever it is. We're trying to attach ourselves to all these other sources, what we think are sources that is going to make us feel good or give us an identity or give us something to be proud about. And so we go in this insatiable hunt for the source that's going to make us feel good, make us, maybe I need to get another job. I mean, you know, whatever. We keep going and something will give us a little bit of instant gratification and then it dies away and we just have to keep going. So what Jesus is saying is, man, when you get attached to me, when we're linked up together, you're never going to have to find another source again. And not only that, this is the authentic source that God created you to take from. When Jesus was talking to a woman one time, she was very separated from God. And she was kind of on the outskirts of town, on the outskirts of society, a different race that was not as honored as the Jewish race. He's talking to her, and they're at a well where you can drink, you know, you get drinking water. And he says, if you'll drink from me, you'll never thirst again. And what he's telling her is, I am the vine, and I want you to be attached to me. This is deeper than physical water. This is deeper than your physical needs being met. This is the whole being finding satisfaction and approval and purpose. And so, you know, we pray for our kids that are up here at the front every service, then we send them out to their classes. What we're saying is, come on, branches. Our little branches, we don't want our little branches growing up thinking that they're going to find satisfaction in all these other things that are so loud. They're so loud and they're in their face all the time. What Jesus is saying is if you'll abide. This is what he says. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, some of you might be saying, well, I've never been a part of Christianity. I've never been a part of Jesus. I grew up in a home that didn't know God, and so I don't really know what to do. I'm not in the vine. How does that work? Well, I'm glad you asked. All of us were born separated from Jesus. We all were. But there's this amazing thing that happens when, and this happens in nature and in the spiritual world. And I posted a video on our online community. It's called Realm. I posted one this week about a vine dresser in Napa Valley in California. And he was talking about how vines work and grapes, how they are produced and all that kind of stuff. And one of the things he says, one of the most bountiful grapes that we use for wine in Napa and Oregon and different places comes from Europe. But when the Europeans first brought it over to America and they planted those grape vines in the ground, they weren't very successful because there were pests in the American soil that contaminated those European vines, and the European vines didn't have immunity to those particular pests, and so they couldn't get those vines to grow. And they tried for years, they couldn't get it to work, and so what they did was they said, ha, God's created a way for us to do this. They take the European branch and they graft it into an American vine. And now the European grape is able to grow and be bountiful because it is attached to a vine that is immune to the pests of America. And when I saw that, I was like, woo, hallelujah. Right? Y'all know where I'm going with this? So many of you are contaminated by American pests. We are. The stuff, the rat race of life, all the stuff we see, and all the hatred and all the ugliness and all the stuff we are enamored with and trying to accomplish, and that's the pests that are trying to eat away at us. We need to be grafted in to a vine that's immune to those things. Come on. That vine is Jesus Christ. Jesus is immune to all the pests of not just America, but the universe. Any darkness that is ever in existence, Jesus paid the price on the cross, defeating death, hell, and the grave. That's the vine we need to get grafted into. And so it's this process. You've seen this. You take a branch that has the little raw end on it, and then you scarf up the Anyway, you cut open a little wound on the original vine, and you attach it, and then you put twine around it. You get it nice and secure. For a while, there's no connection, but after a while, those vines begin to intertwine with each other, and the things inside of them, whatever you call those things inside of them, I'm not a botanist, as you can tell. They grow together, and then all of a sudden, this vine that was kind of like wilting and going down after the initial grafting process, all of a sudden it starts coming back to life because the vine is giving it the nutrition and the nutrients and all of the elements that it needs in order to be strong and grow. And now it can produce fruit. And that is what happens when we're grafted into what God can give us. When we're grafted into Jesus, this amazing vine. And there's two elements to this, really. The pests, what contaminate us, that's sin. And Jesus has defeated sin, and so he gives us mercy. There's mercy that comes to us that deals with the pests of our life, the sin of our life. The blood that Jesus shed on the cross is what deals with the pests of our life. And so we need that immunity from Jesus. That's mercy. But also what comes from Jesus is grace. And that's the life. That's the energy. That's the strength. So we get the grace, which is the forgiveness. We don't deserve that. And we also get the life, that's the grace of Jesus, and we don't deserve that. It's unmerited. We don't deserve the mercy or the grace of Jesus, but both come from us being grafted into him. If you want further study on this, go to Romans 11. We're not going to go there today, but if you can jot that down. Romans 11, Paul talks to us about it in terms of an olive tree and grafting olive trees and branches together. Same concept, different plant, all right? But same idea. That's in Romans 11. Check out this quote. This is very important. This is a quote from one of my favorite Bible commentaries, Holman, and he says it like this: abiding is effortless resting in the Lord, confident in the promised union between the vine and the true branches. And that really brings us to this next idea, and that is that abiding is not striving. So the first idea was abiding is a choice, but what can happen is we can think that means, oh, I gotta try really hard for God to love me, and I gotta quit doing all these bad things and start doing all these good things so that he will look at me and he will be pleased with me and he will forgive me and he will love me. That's not the gospel at all. That's not the good news of Jesus. The good news of Jesus is that, man, he loves you dirty and messed up, and he has already done the work for you to live a victorious life. And so although it is a choice, although we do choose to abide, it's not striving. So we've got to have both of those. You can have both of those. It's choosing to rest in him. Does that make sense? There's a big difference between, you know, choosing and working hard to earn your spot with God and choosing to rest in your identity that God loves me, God's forgiven me, God has a plan for my life and a future for my life. And even though the winds of time blow against me and the diseases come and the pestilence and the grasshoppers are trying to eat the grapevines and the grapes and the deer are coming to eat and all that, you know, all that stuff blows against me and all those things come against me, I am resting in the truth that I'm attached to the vine. And if I stay attached to the vine, it doesn't matter what tries to come my way. I'm going to have the forgiveness I need and I'm going to have the power that I need to make it. Amen. So we have the forgiveness. We rest in that. We have the power coming. We're going to rest in that. Even though for a minute it may feel like it's not coming, I'm attached to the vine. I'm resting in him. And many people struggle with this idea of resting, choosing to rest in your identity with God. And so I want to offer something on top of what we normally do here at Promise. You know, we have Sunday services. We have small groups. We have places to connect with other people many, many ways, like a work day or serve day or whatever. There's another thing that we offer here that I want to make sure everybody gets aware of, and it's been our goal over the last 7-8 years to get everybody through this weekend. We call it Discover Weekend. We used to call it Disciple Weekend, and we just changed it to Discover Weekend so it fits a little better, but it's March 24th, 5th, and 6th. It's a Thursday night. It's a Friday and then a Saturday morning. And I know you've got a lot going on, a lot of things are happening, but I want to encourage you to do what it takes to get to this, because you're going to come out of this on the other side with a clear understanding of what it means to rest. And we're going to give you tools to know how to keep walking in your faith as a disciple, growing and maturing in God. And so there's just a few spots left. It's not in this room. It's in a very small room. We only have 30 people coming. And we do have a few spots left. If you're interested, you can use that QR code or go to our website. It's on our website. There's a link there. And you can sign up for there. But this is a really good way to just, okay. And people come out of this and they're like, I get it. It's just a different mindset. I'm resting in him. Okay, here's the final thought. I'm not going to spend much time on this because I want to spend a whole week on this a couple weeks from now, but abiding is rewarding. It really is. Abiding is rewarding. That's living in the fullness of God and being fruitful. And one of the truths of the gospel of Jesus that I want to make sure you grasp is that you don't have to wait until you die to reap the rewards of a relationship with Jesus. Now, when we die, we're going to be with him forever and ever. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. We're not going to be with the ones that are collected and burned. We're going to be the ones living with him forever and ever. That's going to be amazing and awesome and great. But you don't have to wait until you die to start stepping into that life of a branch that is fruitful and is receiving the reward. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So I want to make sure you grasp that we don't keep his commandments to be loved. But because we're loved, we keep commandments. And we got to make sure we get that sequence right. I'm loved by God, and I'm forgiven by God, and I'm redeemed by God, and he's created me for a purpose, and so now I get to obey him. I get to be transformed by him. And if there's ideologies or philosophies inside of me that go against his word, I'm going to surrender myself to his word, and I'm going to ask, Lord, please show me, please help me, please transform me to fit what you have here in your word. So that is a way that we abide. There was another place I read earlier that it says, if my word abides in you. Well, you know, the only way his word can abide in us is if we read his word. Then it's in us. Then we can stay in that. We can stay in that truth and live in that truth. But look, it's so rewarding because it says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full, so full that it is spilling over. Would you stand to your feet with me right now? I want to go to God in prayer together. We're going to talk to Jesus right now. And we're just going to believe I want you to close your eyes for a second. I want you to envision yourself as a branch. And you're laying there. And maybe you're, I don't know what you look like, but maybe you're a little wilted, a little brown, shriveled up a little bit, whatever. If you're not connected to Jesus, I want us to say yes to that right now. Let's just start with that right now. And so no matter where you are, even those of you watching online right now, no matter where you are spiritually or physically, let's all just make it clear to God that we want to be with Him. We want to be in the vine. Would you say that to Him right now? God, I want to be in the vine. I want to be in you. I don't want to be detached from you. I want to make that clear today, Jesus, that I, Robin Steele, wants to be in the vine. I want to be grafted in. I don't belong there. I don't deserve to be there. But because you're such a gracious vine, you say, come on. Come on, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'm going to bring you forgiveness and peace. So let's just say that right now. Jesus, I want to be in with you. I want to be connected to you, Jesus. Let's just be humble right now and say, God, please forgive me. I've made mistakes in my life. I've messed up. I've done things that's not honoring to you. I've sought after every other sustenance, every other thing to try to fulfill me. Please forgive me. I wasn't even aware. I didn't even know. It was an unconscious thing. So Lord, please forgive me. I want to be connected to you from this day forward. I want to be grafted in. I want to stay in you. I want to remain in you. I want to abide in you. Could you make that confession of faith? Lord, I want to abide in you. I want to take a drink from the well that will never run dry. I trust in you, Jesus. Thank you for doing the work for me. I believe in you, Jesus. Come on, let's make a confession of our faith. I believe in you, Jesus. I'm thankful for you, Jesus. I'm trusting in you, Jesus. I'm believing in you, Jesus. I want to walk with you, Jesus, from this day forward. And now I pray, God, that you would fill me with your amazing grace. Fill me with your Spirit, Heavenly Father. Fill me with your Spirit and let me sense the power and the presence of Almighty God from this day forward. I pray in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's worship.